ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I rode with him. I know what an idiot this guy is.
Pedro Fernandez.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? And good evening to everybody out there listening to the show.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studio. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide in WBC TV. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion, nationally ranked as an amateur, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, allegedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I've always found out the average fan has a different insight on the sport and the business. So I will give you the shot at the top of the hour with this toll-free phone line available all around the world, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, a few minutes away, we will bring in the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. I want to ask him on a couple of questions, in particular Manny Pacquiao. And, of course, we'll delve into the Sonny Liston story with Larry Merchant as well. Of course, we'll also talk about the fact that, you know, there's never been a fighter like Muhammad Ali until maybe Manny Pacquiao came along. Now, how can I say that? Because, you know, Manny Pacquiao has reached and touched more people outside of boxing than any other fighter except Muhammad Ali. Think about that. Think about that. Building all those homes for the poor people over there in the Philippines. And he's done it. He is like a saint in my mind, no doubt about that. So we'll talk Manny Pacquiao with Larry Merchant after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, Twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA, and the Viv TV Network.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Wow! I feel good. The Godfather of Soul means the retired HBO Godfather is in the house, Mr. Larry Merchant. Good afternoon, sir, and how are you?
Well, after sleeping 12 hours, after spending the previous 6 hours at my granddaughter's wedding, I feel pretty good.
Okay, so it was party time, huh?
Well, yeah, and it was just a magnificent show, and we raised our granddaughter, and it was something we shall sever for a long time.
Well, that's good. No doubt about it. We're happy that the Godfather's out and about. You know, I don't know how to put this, but I'm still running into my friends and people that I talk to, and once I find out they're, like, not vaccinated, I don't want to talk to them anymore. I mean, as far as being up close and personal is concerned, you're 90 years old. How many vaccines do you think you've taken in your life?
Well, I've taken many. I clearly remember, because I was about 10 or 12 years old, the polio vaccine, because there was a polio outbreak. Mm-hmm. And before that, German measles, whooping cough, all the usual suspects.
So, and you know, and I've taken all the, like, the flu, and I've taken flu shots, and at first I was, I didn't want to take flu shots, and my doctor said to me, she says, you know, why don't you want to take flu shots? I said, you know, she goes, you get the flu and you get really sick, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so I get the flu vaccinations as well. I think I'm in pretty good health, and I've been taking these vaccines God, for like 63 years now, and I'm not finding any adverse effects to it. I think the polio vaccine of 1964 had some issues. But outside of that, the vaccines have been pretty safe and pretty effective.
Well, we used to believe that government can help us, and now we have a government and a political situation that a lot of people believe governments are out to get them. And it's unfortunate, and it indicates the split in the country.
You know, it's funny. I thought it was ironic that I heard some governors screaming about, now he wanted to mandate COVID vaccines, but he mandates chickenpox vaccines.
Well, I had that one too. you name it, I got it, and it was considered routine. And many of the governors who were old enough had many of those injections and have had the present injection and stand up and tell their constituents, well, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, good point. Manny Pacquiao is going to run for president. You and I discussed this with you a while back, and of course I told you about Ninoy Aquino. He was the sort of like the Filipino people's president in exile, the people's person in exile. And of course, when he stepped off that plane in Manila, he was shot dead before he got his second foot on the ground. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that Marcos was a bad dude. This guy, Duarte, seems to be even a more rugged guy. And the bottom line is, this is a decent amount of the Filipino population, much like the United States, have swung so far to the right that they're down with him throwing drug dealers out of airplanes and killing people and extricating people on the street. A percentage of the population is down with that.
Well, I think there's a trend towards authoritarianism around the world. Democracy can be messy. Getting things done can be hard, if not impossible, because of opposition. Mm-hmm. And people want somebody who can convince them that they have the answers.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one more question on this. And did this come, the 60s produced a lot of brilliant minds and this and that, people going to college, and college was accessible, this and that. I think a friend of mine went to UC Berkeley, considered one of the premier colleges in the country. I think he went for $1,800, $900 for 1 year and $900 for one semester and $900 for the other. He took all kinds of classes. Now it costs $80,000. So what I'm trying to tell you is, have they dumbed down America to the point where there's a lot of people that really aren't that smart, per se, and they're falling into, like, conspiracy traps and that kind of stuff? I'm trying to be kind.
I think the political divide accounts for what you're calling as dumbed down, and I think that the more education people have had, the more they're willing to listen to reason, to the history of these things. Why did their leaders take the shots, but they don't?
that's a good one. That is a good one. But Larry, does it boil down to, in the background, does this all boil down to racism, anti-Semitism, anti-blackism, all that kind of good stuff? Is that what this fringe part of the government, this fringe part of the element of society clings to, and they're hoping we can go back to like a John Birch type of society?
I don't think it's that direct, but people are dissatisfied, and they see themselves being overwhelmed by other people with more education and by minorities. And so they're willing to listen to any claptrap that can get over the airwaves or through social media.
Okay. So Manny Pacquiao's he's running. I guess his boxing career is over. But I mean, without a doubt, since Muhammad Ali, I think he's been had the most impact outside of the ring. I just think he has, whether it's been only in the Philippines or around the world or not, I just think he's done more outside of boxing for anybody than Muhammad Ali, without a doubt. And of course, now he's going to run for president. Is he going to win, Larry?
Probably not. But it could be a trial run because he's running against essentially a dictator, even if they have elections, to see whether his popularity is in that ballpark. Maybe he's the figure Filipinos think, given his history of giving his money away, that he's the guy that thinks more for the common man.
Okay.
And woman.
Andre Ward has been spotted at the gym, I told you, for the last 5-6 months now. And, of course, he's dropped a lot of weight, got rid of that extra chin he had. Do you think he would come back and risk that undefeated mark to fight Canelo Alvarez?
Well, unless he's training for a star turn in a movie, what else would that be about?
Okay, but I wanted to get it from you because that's the way I see it. I mean, he looks all cut up now and this and that. And I'm saying to myself, well, more power to him. So Andre Ward, of course, wants to fight. I think that would be like a mega fight. But that, of course, the weight issue would be something as far as Canelo Alvarez fighting at 168 now and Andre Ward wanting to fight at 175. So, you know, Andre Ward, here's what's up, Godfather. Here's a question I got for you because I think you're tight with these guys down in Southern California. Where is Gennady Golovkin besides on the side of a milk carton?
I don't know. He lives nearby. I've never seen him. His kids go to the school that our daughter went to. But I don't know. Maybe he's just waiting for the same fight that Ward is training for.
You know,
that's where the big bucks are, and whatever else they tell you, that's what it's about. And onward and maybe upward and probably downward.
Okay, but Golovkin's 41-1. Of course, the one draw and the one loss, both to Canelo Alvarez. You think he would be beating on the door for this and. I don't know. I think he should make it a little bit more noise than he is. Anyway, outside of that, Godfather, you feeling good?
I'm feeling very good today. Had a very terrific Saturday and with the wedding of my granddaughter, and it was my daughter organized the whole thing, and there were a lot of beautiful young people there, and a few old cases like myself, and it was good.
I'm glad you were able to attend and have such a great time, Godfather. All the best to you. We'll talk next week, hopefully.
You got me.
The great Larry Merchant, the Hall of Famer. What can I say? He's on the comeback trail. He's back, folks, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, carried by Sports Byline.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
Why would Andre Ward risk that undefeated mark, that pretty face, his health, all that kind of good stuff? $25 million. That's probably the purse, $25 to $30 million. I think that is the area in which, in other words, he would have no choice but ask, but other than to come back. And the reason why I'm saying that, I keep looking at him on TV, man, and this is Andre Ward in training. I've known this guy since this kid, since he was like 10 or 11 years old. So I'm telling you, Andre Ward is in training. Whether he says he's coming back or not, whether he will come back or not, I don't know. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, he's rocking and rolling and training over there in Hayward, California. Now, evidently, Triller did okay the other night as far as a fight was concerned. Of course, in the main event, Pablo Cesar Cano failed to rise to the mark, but I thought he was a favorite going in anyway. No, I think he wasn't. Daniela Zarillo came in at 15 and zip, and he beat Daniela Zarillo with a KO in two rounds. So Zanilla won. What can I say? Not a whole lot on TV as far as the upcoming schedule is concerned, except, of course, coming up with the heavyweight title fights. And, of course, we've got, I don't know if we can get all pumped up behind Oleg Usyk and Anthony Joshua. In fact, I don't know if we can get pumped up about anything that Anthony Joshua does. I mean, Anthony Joshua doesn't do anything for me after. Look, he won the Olympic gold medal. I thought he was able to, a latecomer to boxing, I thought he was able to find himself and form himself into a formidable fighter, okay? And he looked like that. He looked like a tall guy that could fight a little bit. But once he got hit on the chin, you know, once you get punched in the face, things change. Much like when Hector Camacho got chilled in that fight with Edwin Rosario. He got that hook with Edwin Rosario in the Garden, of course. That turned him from the macho man to the runner, no doubt about that. Now, fights tonight coming to you, of course, on Fox Sports. So if you got the Fox Sports channel, check that out. You got to support your local boxing, of course. Talk about club shows. That's where the boxing really starts as far as the United States is concerned. I mean, you know, Ray Leonard, he wasn't doing club shows per se, but outside of guys like that, it all starts in the clubs. You've got to have a young guy go out and win some amateur fights, maybe get a few headlines in the newspaper, and then he turns pro locally, and, you know, people start to follow him. He sells some tickets. Unlike me, he can sell tickets like Johnny Nava. Johnny Nava, the insurance, what's he, with Farmers Insurance? He's a big star with Farmers Insurance now in I think he's in Foster City, California. Take that back. Either Foster City or out there near Candlestick Park, the old Candlestick Park, South City. Anyway, bottom line is he's a mega insurance guy. He's won all these awards for selling insurance. But he was the pride of Pacifica. He was a big draw, I mean, coming out of Pacifica. I mean, he could draw 1,000 people. You see to me, do you think that's a lot? Yeah, that's a lot. So what I'm trying to say to you, that Johnny could draw 1,000. That was significant for Johnny drawing 1,000 people to a fight. But Pat Lawler drew even more. Sometimes Pat Lawler drove 1,500 people, maybe a couple of thousand. I kid you not. I mean, he was a ticket seller around here. People that sold tickets. I was promoting boxing back in the early 1990s here in San Francisco with Eileen, can't think of her last name now. Anyway, but the bottom line is we had a good run for a couple of fights there, a couple of cars. And then, of course, her husband died, so that was the end of that promotion. But the bottom line is we had local guys, we pushed local guys, and of course, one local guy, I put him in a fight with a guy that just got out of prison. I told you this story. This guy got out of prison, and I said to him, I talked to him on the phone. He goes, I don't have a manager. I said, okay. I said, can you get up here? He was in L.A. I said, can you get up here by Friday or Saturday? He goes, yeah, I can get up there tonight. I said, okay, well, come on up here. I'll get you a motel or a motel room here in San Francisco. So I got him a nice place out near the Fisherman's Wharf. Anyway, he was the guy that went up into the dress room, and when the people were screaming for my guy, Danny, Danny, Danny. Well, Danny was standing in the middle of the ring waiting for this guy to come downstairs, okay, and fight him, right? Well, the guy wasn't coming downstairs until I paid him another $500. And I remember what he told me. He goes, you can suspend me. You can do anything you want, man. I've already spent 4 days in San Francisco. What can you do to me? Yeah, the perils of boxing matchmaking, no doubt about that. The USC, of course, they're coming up with nothing. And why are they coming up with nothing? Because the bottom line is people are getting hip to the fact that Dana White's the biggest pimp in town. He is. In the world of combat sports, he just is. I mean, when you sell out the Garden, I mean, like a $7 or $8 million gate, you sell out the Garden, okay, and then you give the guy $500,000 that sold out the Garden, the guy that the big star that sold out the Garden, he's getting $500,000, and then you give him, oh, I'm gonna give you a $50,000 bonus. He's getting $550,000 out of $7 million of a live gate, plus the fact that the fight probably did $70 or $80 million on pay per view. So where is Dana coming from? I'm trying to give fighters a percentage of the pay-per-view. He doesn't appear to be giving anybody a percentage of the pay-per-view. I mean, maybe the big guys, but some of the big guys don't want to fight for him now. John Jones, considered the the star of mixed martial arts, because a loser in only one fight was disqualified for elbowing somebody on the ground, something like that. Anyway, the bottom line is John Jones been nearly untouchable, except with Father Time started creeping on him. The fact that he's got an active social life as far as his nightlife is concerned, of course, having hit and run accidents. The only guy I ever know to get into an accident, he hit and runs. And then he ran again. So he had the hit and run accident, got into this accident with this lady, right? Jumped out of the car, said, "Whoa, I'm John Jones. I got to get out of here." Like they don't know who you are in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So he ends up splitting, goes a couple of blocks away, realizes he left some weed in the car. He goes back to the car, gets his weed. So he hit and run twice. He came back twice. Anyway, bottom line is John Jones, of course, spent some time dealing with the authorities on that one. I don't think it was actually incarceration per se, but he spent some time spending money doing probation, youth talks, that kind of good stuff. But he doesn't want to fight for the UFC until his contract expires. I think it expires in February of next year. So he's going to wait it out until February of next year. And, of course, I think that Francis Ngannou, if Ngannou was the heavyweight champion, if he was able to get out of his contract, I think he and John Jones could do an independent fight where the two of them can generate more money than has ever been generated in MMA history and without Dana White. So what I'm trying to tell you is I see the tables being set here for the removal of Dana White as far as him being the czar, as far as being, listen, the only one I know that had – the only guy I ever saw with more onerous contracts than Dana White was Berry Gordy. He ran Motown Records. Some of the contracts I looked at as far as the Supremes and the Temptations and things like that were concerned, you would not believe. I mean, the Supremes, I think he had 5 number one hits in a row, and they were only getting $500 a week, and they were paying for their own travel and their own dresses. I kid you not. So that's how slick of a pimp Berry Gordy was. Now, I shouldn't be talking about Berry, because Berry could be listening to the show. He's 91 years old. He's still rocking and rolling, living in L.A. But, I'm going to say, he was a boxer. People don't know that. Berry Gordy was like 11-2, I believe, as a professional boxer. I think 11-2 or 9-2. And only had a couple of knockouts, couldn't punch very well at all. But he took okay, didn't get knocked out, lost his fights on points. But he realized that, you know what, the guys that box, they look all beat up after fights. But the musicians, they look good all the time. So in other words, the fighters can only have girls after fights. And if you get all beat up after a fight, no girl wants to be with you, right? So the bottom line was Berry Gordy realized, as far as my social life is concerned, I'm going to make more girls and more money as far as music is concerned than I will as a boxer. And the great Eddie Futch, of course, the trainer of Joe Frazier, of course, he spoiled the Muhammad Ali. He spoiled Ali's act not once but twice. You know he did. I mean, he was with Ken Norton. So, I mean, Eddie Futch was a guy, no doubt about that. I miss Eddie. 91 years old. Man, can't forget the last time I saw him. He was in a wheelchair, and I was freaking out because he was in a wheelchair. And I said to him, "Godfather, you okay?" I was like, I'm almost crying. I was like really emotional. He goes, "Oh, I'm okay." He goes, "I just got the wheelchair because this was a long-ass walk from the front door to here. It was an outdoor arena outside of Vegas." Anyway, he gets up and he walks to show me he can walk and this and that. I think he did that just for me. But the bottom line is he told me that day. I said to him, are you feeling okay physically? And he pulls me close to him. He goes, "Physically, yes. Mentally, no. Because I'm losing it." Whoa. When he told me that, I sort of like freaked out and stepped back. The great Eddie Futch. Confessions of a Trainer. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I can go on and on, but the bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
And all these fighters that are, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have the upside in the pay-per-view,
Mr. Dana White, wherever you are, I have a hit list, but I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
The cops ain't likely to catch up with us, not tonight. So we can all be quiet and peaceable and have a few beers together and listen to the music and not make any wrong moves.
Looking good.
I'm married.
Is she here with you?
No, she's not here. She's home with the children, but I'm married.
Oh, well, can't win them all. Win some, lose some. You look a lot like Killer. You got that big, That big husky at the killer used to be a fighter, too. Yeah, they called him Sweet Chariot. Because he was always swinging low. You haven't got a scar on you. Well, yeah, let me look at you. Stand, let me. I talk now. Look at that man there. Ain't got a scar. You look better than you do on the television. You look better than that. How'd you like to lose 5 pounds real fast?
We'll lose 5 pounds the night we get Joe Frazier.
You got at least look, 5 pounds. Now, let me tell you, I wanted to mention that to you. Come over here. I don't want them near. This is between me and you. You know, now I know you got to fight the man. You all got to fight and drag off them Charlies. Yes, but don't hurt him. Don't hurt him because he's one of us. You know, just fight him a few rounds. You got to fight him. People expecting a fight. So go on and fight him a few rounds and then later on just do what you got to do. But don't hurt him because he's one of us. Maybe I'll go light on you too. Yes, I wanted to meet you a long time. What are they looking at? I'm talking to you and they're looking at me. That guy there, he tried to come up on the stage a couple weeks ago and manhandle me. I said, man, are you crazy? You won't try nothing now. I got the champ with me. That's right. Here's the killer.
I thought I could talk, but I met my match.
I'm down to Flip Wilson's show, honey. I told you I was coming down here. I did, too. I told my mother to tell you if you called that I was over to Flip Wilson's show to see Muhammad Ali. That's right. The heavyweight champ. Now I'm standing right next to him. Well, not that close. Yes. You want to talk to him? You want to say something to Killer?
How you feeling, Killer?
Yes. He said, how you feeling, Killer? Killer said, drop dead. He must have one of them incendiary headaches. Yes. Oh, Killer, he don't want to talk to you anymore.
Muhammad Ali and Flip Wilson, 1971. Of course, he was playing Geraldine. That was his character there. May they both rest in peace. Now, big fight tonight. If you're a fight fan, of course, you can check this out on Fox Sports, coming to you from Bakersfield, California. Now the boxing capital of the world. I kid you not, they had a fight last night on Fox Sports. Well, so why move the venue when you can, you know, do it your, why move the venues when you can do it again the same night, the next night? So he comes back with a fight the following night. And this guy's name is gonna, take that back. Yeah, this guy's name is gonna be a problem, but I will try it anyway. Malik Montgomery is undefeated. He's taking on Aleem Jumanakov. And Jumanakov is 9-3. These guys are going to hook it up. It's the main event, September the 19th, 10 p.m. in the East, 7 o'clock in the West. Fox Sports, check it out. Coming to you from the Mechanics Arena in Bakersfield, California. Now, the guy that's challenging... Yeah, he's challenging. The guy that's challenging Anthony Joshua for a portion of the heavyweight title. And I sort of got a problem giving Joshua any of the heavyweight title. I know he's got this belt and that belt and this belt and that belt. But the bottom line was, you know, he was destroyed by Andy Ruiz. Like a fat guy. A guy that was unprepared. A guy that just showed up because they needed somebody to fight him. Like, and that's what happened. So Andy showed up and Andy ends up beating him. I mean, like, it was like, blew me away the fact that Andy was able to win that fight. I mean, you know, but he did. He beat Joshua. And of course, he came back in the rematch weighing 317 pounds when he started training. Anyway, now Joshua, 24-1 with like, what, 22 knockout scores, taking on 18-0 Oleg Usyk. Oleg Usyk, the former cruiserweight champion. He's a Russian nightmare. The guy looks like a serial killer. I mean, he and Charles Manson and Roberto Duran should all hold hands together. That's how ugly and mean and formidable they look when they're in there, got that sneer on their face. Anyway, he's 18 and zip, 13 KOs. But the knock on him is its size. Size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. This is combat sports. Some people call it pornography, but this is combat sports. So anyway, I mean, Anthony Joshua is 6'7". This guy's coming in at 6'2", 6'3", 6'3". He's a southpaw, but he hasn't got the upper body build. In other words, he's coming in with a 215, maybe a 220-pound body max. Is that enough to take out Anthony Joshua? Obviously, Andy Ruiz was enough to take him out, so if Ruiz could take him out, I'm saying that Oleg Usyk has a shot. But the fact that Usyk looked so bad in his last fight, when was that? In August, September of last year. Take that back. October of last year when he took on Derek Chisora. Derek Chisora, of course, the heavyweight, can I say, like the trial horse of the UK. Everybody, if you want to fight somebody for the title, you got to go through Derek Chisora in the United Kingdom. So anyway, all these guys that went through Derek Chisora, but Oleg Usyk didn't look all that good going through him. Yeah, he won unanimous decision in 12 rounds with 115-113 twice. I mean, 7-5 in rounds and 117-112. One judge had a little bit more for Usyk than Chisora, but the bottom line is he didn't look good in that fight as far as being a future heavyweight champion is concerned. I mean, I thought he had a shot. No, I'm not thinking he has so much of a shot. Why do I say that? Even though he's a sharpshooter, he might be able to get that left hand in there. If he gets the left hand in there, it may all change. But the bottom line is, will he get that left hand in? Will he get that left hand in? Who knows? Marvin Hagler in the news. Somebody said to me, why am I not dogging Marvin Hagler? He sent me a little in the news as far as Texas is concerned. I'm not dogging Marvin Hagler. I never dog Marvin Hagler. I told you I was scared of Marvin Hagler. And the reason why I was scared of him is that I thought he might punch me if I say something stupid and say something really Pedro. I kid you. I mean, I just thought that. So when I would engage him on the Leonard fight, especially the Leonard fight, of course, afterwards, because I thought he lost the fight 7-5, and then he gave away 4 of the first 5 rounds. So if he gave away 4 of the first 5 rounds, all Leonard had to do was win 3 more rounds on the stretch to win the fight 115-113 or 7-5 in rounds. Now, I had to sugarcoat that with Marvin Hagler in Mexico City and in Spain and in Italy, all three places, because he engaged me on the score all three different times. I kid you not. So, I mean, the first time I brought it up, and after I brought it up, he remembered when he saw me in the next venue, he brought it up again. When I saw him in the next venue, he brought it up again. This is a guy, he remember he told his wife one time, this is a guy that thinks that Leonard beat me. This is a guy that Leonard thinks that Leonard beat me. Anyway, Marvin Hagler, a classic. You never heard any headlines. He never made the police headlines. No drunk drivings, no assaulting the old lady, no beating somebody up. Marvin was just a good old guy. I mean, down, pure, bad to the bone. It just was. I mean, Brockton, Massachusetts, of course, he came out of the same town as Rocky Marciano, or he fought out of the same town as Rocky Marciano, and he had Gabe and Goody Petronello, who I saw pictures of the other day, and that's why I'm sort of bringing this up, because somebody shot me pictures of the three of them and asked me would I comment on the three of them. Well, I thought that Pat and Goody Petronelli were probably the two most honest guys that Marvin could have ever had in his life. Okay? That being said, I don't think they were the most competent when it comes to boxing. I really don't. I think that the training aspects, and they were just too much old school. Had Hagler been introduced to some other new aspects of training, I think, with other trainers, like maybe an Eddie Futch or I'm not a big Freddie Roach fan, but maybe an Angelo Dundee or something like that. Maybe Tommy Brooks, okay, or Don Turner, something like that. Maybe those guys could maybe make a metamorphosis of sorts, make a fighter change but be better. Because most guys can't do that. I mean, Emmanuel Stewart was a hired gun. He's the guy that made Lennox Lewis the heavyweight champion of the world. How can you say that? Lennox Lewis won the Olympic gold medal long before he got involved with Emmanuel Stewart, won the title before he got involved with Emmanuel Stewart. In fact, it was the fact that Oliver McCall had knocked out Lennox Lewis, that Emmanuel Stewart became enamored with Lennox Lewis and said to me and another queue up a couple other people, guess what? I can bring this guy back. I can build him up and make him heavyweight champion again and you know, never lose a fight. Of course, he got him a safety first type of action. You know, I mean, the long punches, this and that, and staying tall and fighting 6'7" and being able to grab when you can. Of course, and then that last fight against Klitschko, Vitaly Klitschko, I mean, Lennox realized that all in all, you know, he had enough. His body went far enough. Plus, I think he played around with some type of Flintstone vitamins a couple of different times. Johnny Boz came on the show. Remember Johnny Boz? May he rest in peace. The matchmaker, of course, originally out of New York City. He was a garden type of guy. And then he went to Florida after they ran him out of MSG for putting together a couple of fights that were maybe suspicious in some people's minds. Anyway, that's the way it was described to me. Anyway, Johnny Boz living in Florida, you know, another guy. Somebody asked me just to do a show on people that I remember. Johnny Boz was a good guy. And the fact that he died from... they were taking some type of hot drug back in the 90s. It was called had something like a dream at the end, okay? And it would keep them up at night and make them happy, have them energetic. This and not methamphetamine, something else. Anyway, Johnny was hooked on that. And that's why Johnny would end up spending Johnny, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, my time. So it's 8 o'clock his time and he's still on the phone. May he rest in peace. Of course, he was a guy that when we would run those IRS commercials on the show for the accountants, if the IRS is haunting you, please call us right now. Johnny would hang up. We'd have to call him back. Cutty goes, hey, Johnny hung up. I go, yeah, you played the IRS commercial, huh? He goes, yeah. May he rest in peace. Of course, one of the great bookers as far as booking agents concerned, he made Joey Gamache world champion. Of course, Joey Gamache, a former New York City Brooklyn Golden Glove champion. He also made... Joey Gamache was a guy from Maine. He made him champion in 130, 135 pounds. And of course, he gave Paulie Malignaggi, who still wants to fight. Malignaggi did some bare knuckle fight a while back, but evidently he still wants to fight. He's going to be part of some upcoming pay-per-view card, but what can I say? He keeps going. I don't know why. If these guys can make a few bucks with the key behind the camera like Malignaggi can, why don't you just do it? I mean, the residual effects of combat sports are not pretty. I mean, look at the guys when you go to these reunions. I mean, that's all you got to do. And if you think it's just isolated to boxing, you're wrong. Go to some football reunions. Go to some high school reunions and check out some of the guys that played high school football that were studs when in high school. They're got cross-eyed and this and that now. And why? Call it the impact. Head. Concussions, multiple concussions. Remember the old thing of football? If you didn't see light two or three times a game, get buzzed and hits, you weren't playing hard enough. That's crazy. So they sort of compelled you to get concussions. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and the WBC TV, of course, coming to you from the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Every Saturday and Sunday, we come to you with Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If you give me enough money, I'll fight my own mother.
The horns of the mighty Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. Emilio Castillo and the gang still rocking and rolling and touring as I speak. In fact, my buddy Lenny Williams was in at the Horseshoe Casino. I think he said he was in Chicago, Illinois last night, Saturday night. Anyway, I got a beef with it. I got a tick on my throat, which is a pain in the ass when you're doing radio. Transgender fighters, I'm not down with that. I mean, I'm just not, because you never see any women becoming men and fighting and beating men. It's the other way around. It seems to happen all the time, or happens more often than not. Anyway, Alana McLaughlin, the first openly transgender athlete to compete in mixed martial arts in the United States in 2014, I guess that's when Fallon Fox was doing it, won her MMA debut Friday night, beating Celine Provost via submission in Miami, Florida. Listen, that's not cool at all. I mean, if you look into these two girls, I mean, one of them looks like a stone cold dude. I mean, a stone cold tomboy dude that's buff, that's got these big old muscles. And you look over this other little girl that's got little cuts and this and that. This is not fair. This is not, and I'm not no right wing fanatic, this and that. I'm about as openly gay with my buddies. Gay is cool. I got no problem with anybody being gay. I told you before. I see two gay guys going down the street. I say to myself, two more chicks for me. So I got no problem with gay guys, okay? But I got a problem if I got a girl fighting. And and you're going to bring a guy that used to be a guy, even though he's now taking female hormones and maybe did a clip job on him, you're going to allow him to fight my girl. That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. It never should happen. It shouldn't be licensed. It shouldn't even be thought about. I mean, come on, man. You were still born a male. You still have, I'm looking at the pictures right here. It's like, you know, this is not cool. This is unfair. And you know what? Somebody's in, Fallon Fox ended up getting beat. But the bottom line is, who cares? She beat on some girls along the way that probably shouldn't have been beaten on because they were getting beat on by a man. Now, do I have a problem with that? Yes, I do. I don't think men should be beaten on women, and I don't think it should be whether it's sanctioned or not. You think this is cool? I don't. We'll talk about this in depth in the future. You've been tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, coming to you, of course, on Viv TV, live on Sports Byline USA, the channel for twitch.tv, so we've got all kinds of video presentations. Of course, this is a Sports Byline presentation. I'm blowing it today. The producer is the one, the only, incomparable Scott Cuddy. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I thank you so much for taking along and spending some time with me today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Don't forget, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. I just got to shut up. Until next time, peace.